All right, good morning, everybody. A New Testament survey. So we're not trying, I'm not trying to summarize all the good theology. There's so much stuff. How could we ever cover even a book in one class period? So just trying to hit some of the background and some of the stuff that you might not necessarily catch before you take a look at a book. So last time we met, and my PowerPoint, I'll admit, is not as much for you as it also is just for me to organize my thoughts. It's online, it's in the notes, so you'll get it. You can go back and look at it anytime. I'll be using it to help me as far as keep track of where I'm at. But we took a look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke the last few times. And we said that the first three Gospels are called the Synoptic Gospels. There's like 93% common material within them. And, you know, we saw Matthew was written as a Jew to the Jews, portraying Jesus Christ as king. Mark was about Jesus Christ being the servant, and Luke, Jesus Christ as the Son of Man. So all three of those Gospels. So we come to the Gospel of John. It's not a synoptic gospel, so that already tells you, all right, well, it's not going to be quite the same as what was going on there. John, what do we know about John? Anybody? John, who is John? He was a disciple.
Disciple whom Jesus loved.
Disciple whom Jesus loved. Yep. One of the inner three. What else do we know about John? What was his profession before he was called?
He was a fisherman.
Do we know anything else about John?
Son of Zebedee.
Son of Zebedee.
Brother of James, right?
Brother of James, yep. Matter of fact, they even, in one of the other Gospels, they even had a nickname.
Sons of Thunder.
Sons of Thunder. Oh, that's pretty impressive. Matthew, Mark, and Luke were written roughly, you know, we'll say 50 to 65 AD, sometime in there. John was written almost towards the end of all the writings found in the New Testament. It's more like 85 or 90. So it too is different from these other Gospels in that way. We've got the brothers. One other thing, John, right, Christ is on the cross, and his mother's there, and he looks to John and says, take care of my mom. So, again, back to that beloved, that man, this is one of the guys. He was a fisherman. And we often think of fishermen as just a broke fisherman. Not necessarily. We notice in some of the other Gospels that he might have had some money. You know, he might have been from a fleet of, you know, he might have owned several boats. Don't know. Certainly he was at a place where financially he could take care of mom, but there's some other suggestions that, you know, he might not have been just the broke fisherman that we think of. So we've looked at genealogies, and what do we see for the book of John? We see, and it starts off right in the beginning, right? In the beginning. What is the beginning of John starts out? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. That's the genealogy that we see in John. So Jesus Christ as the Son of God. That's the overarching picture that we see here in John. Key verse, theme, let's take a look. John 20, 30 to 31. Somebody can find that and read that for me. As soon as you get it, just start reading.
Many other signs, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name.
So John admits there's a whole bunch of other stuff that I didn't cover. But why do you guys need to know this so that you can believe that he is the Son of God and have eternal life? So John just tells us it's about eternal life. He's not trying, like in the book of Acts that we'll get to, he didn't try to cover everything that Jesus did. He's just trying to cover a few things there. Somebody look up John 10:10.
The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full.
So, if you've got one of those red letter editions, this happens to be red, and who's speaking?
Jesus.
I've come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly, fully. Again, Jesus Christ, John's quoting him and making sure to tell us eternal life. So the book of John was written to a specific person, a specific church even. Probably not. It was probably written to the Christians of Asia Minor, so it's a little broader, and it has that audience in mind. The audience is important, but what's it telling us? So, like I said, John was written towards the end of the writings of the New Testament, and this is intended to be, I use the word supplemental, it's in addition to, and it's also far more theological in the writings. If we take a look at John 1, 11 through 13, who's got that for me?
He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
I put all three of those verses as key verses. Eternal life, theme of John. Jesus even said it. And who's that eternal life for? It's for everybody. We saw in, you know, Matthew was written by a Jew to the Jews. It didn't explain a lot of Jewish stuff. And it assumed that the audience was Jewish, and it just went there and had a lot of that information. This book of John, is for everybody. It's talking about eternal life. It's not just to the Jew, and it probably, the audience was actually probably far less Jewish than Gentile. So the overall tone and information in the book of John talked about the nature and the person of Jesus Christ. It was in the book of John, we see that it's very personal writing. We see private conversations between people. Matthew, Mark, and Luke had more of like the events that were going on. In John, we see these conversations. Half of the book covers, the second half of the book covers how much time period?
One week.
One week. So half of the book is dedicated just to 1 week. You've got all these, like I say, private conversations going on. In the other Gospels, we saw a large amount of quotation and references to the Old Testament. Here, we only see 19 references to the Old Testament. But we see 50% of it is red letter edition. Now, certainly there's a group of folks that, you know, focus strictly on the red letter and somehow that's more spiritual because, you know, Jesus spoke that. No, all scripture we know is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, instruction, correction. But that's the difference with the book of John. It's a lot of quotation of Jesus Christ. It's that personal stuff that we see in John. We also see zero parables. And we only see 7 miracles. So it's not about, again, it's not about the details that were going on. So it was only 7 miracles. So, why cover those 7? Hold that thought. What are some of the key words that we see? We see, and the key words are just an interesting way, when you read through a book and you just see words over and over and over again, it kind of makes you stop and go, maybe I should pay attention to this. It'd make a great word study. So what do we see in John? We see no. Well, I wrote it up there twice, no and no. Well, you know what? We see 2 different no's in the Greek language. One was used 54 times, another one was used 83 times. So to know, this is about absolutely knowing. It's not being wishy-washy. Well, it's kind of like, no. John says a whole lot about you can know. You can believe and glorify the Father, and you can ask and abide and believe. These are all strong statements. The Greek language is awesome because, like with that no, it was very specific. And instead of our sloppy English language where we can use love to mean all sorts of things. No, the Greeks had a whole bunch of different words and they always chose a specific word in the Greek language for that specific point that you're trying to make. So if you ever want to, you know, do a word study when you're looking through a book and you see those words, it's great to do the word study and look at all the different places where you find it and what that means there. So all of this stuff to know, to glorify the Father, the book was written later in the time period. So John, yes, it is a gospel, but why was it written? There was Gnostic teaching that had popped up within the church and within the believers. The Gnostics were those ones that, you know, they thought, oh, hey, we have this secret knowledge of God. And only if you're one of the in crowd, if you're one of us, do you get to know these secrets. And that's why, no, John was written partly to just counter that Gnostic teaching. The Gospel of John, let's compare it with the Synoptic Gospels. Synoptic Gospels, you had public ministry. John, we see private ministry. The Synoptic Gospels, the Galilean ministry up the north section, right? In John's Gospel, most all the actions happening in Judea. The Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you've got all the parables. John, not so much. No parables. The human side, the divine side. Earthly aspect and the heavenly aspect. You've got Synoptic, and supplementary, the official and the personal. So that's the comparison for the Gospels. Obviously, we can read any of the Gospels and all the Gospels, and we should. Again, the point of the survey is just to kind of organize your thoughts on the different books, some of that background. Why do we have it? I mentioned to counter the Gnostic teaching. Aristotle wrote, and so we're coming from, in as far as time period, right? The most of the world is speaking, in this area, is speaking Greek. There's a lot of the Greek influence everywhere, and everybody heard of Aristotle. So he wrote an awful lot, but there was something called categories, in which he listed 9 categories of the cosmos. So Jesus demonstrated power over the cosmos in each of those 9 different categories. I said that there were only 7 miracles. Well, if you include the resurrection, depending on which way you count them, you can say that there was also 9 miracles. And as far as the Gnostic teaching, it's interesting because John covers each, when you lay out each of those 9 miracles, it's showing the power of the word over the power of the world. It's showing how Jesus demonstrated his authority in each of those 9 categories, how he had authority over them. And so you take a look at that in combination with all those you can know. You can abide, the believe, the glorify God. We see that for John, it's showing us to have eternal life by knowing an eternal God. All the books are fantastic, but just when you compare, I encourage you guys to read the Gospels, read the 3, notice all those similarities, and read John and just see those differences and let some of that stuff come to life. It's exciting. So, first 4 books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, are the Gospels. They cover the life of Jesus, which in time period that covers, we'll just for round sake, we'll say 0 to 30, right? Whether what time Jesus was born. The whole time we talk about Bible survey, I'm going to be really fuzzy and broad about the specific date, because you can go and argue that, and that's, go have a good argument or discussion with somebody else. Just in general, we're looking at, you know, from the birth of Christ to the cross, 0 to 30, and then, so the next time period and the next book is the book of Acts. Pastor's been preaching on the book of Acts. Wasn't going to spend a whole lot of time on the book of Acts, but wanted to just mention a few things. Obviously, I think Pastor's served us tremendously and given us lots of things to look at and to think about. When I was looking through various books and information, there were a number of titles for the book of Acts that I thought, okay. The 5th Gospel. Meh, okay. Gospel of the Holy Spirit. Book of Actions. Acts of the Holy Spirit. The book with no conclusion. It's like, you know, I kind of liked that one. So, who wrote the book of Acts? Luke. Do we know, why did Luke write the book of Luke and the book of Acts? Other than God directed him, I know, I get that. What do we remember? Luke was written to Theophilus. Whether it was an actual person, some have suggested it was just a title, a kind of a secret code. The name Theophilus is dear to God. So whether it was really an actual person or whether it was kind of broad to written to those dear to God, Luke wrote the gospel of Luke, and then, okay, so that covered 0 to 30. So now Luke's going to write what? He's going to write the follow-up, 30 to 90-ish time period, what's going on. Luke was a native of Antioch. We know that he lived in Philippi for a while. And let's take a look again at 2 Timothy 4:11. Somebody have that for me?
Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry.
Okay, so this is at the end of Paul's life, and Luke was there right up to the end, and only Luke is with me. Luke was faithful to the end of Paul's life, and it probably is also nearing the end of Luke's life as well. Like I said, time period was from the cross to 30 plus more years. Again, Pastor Bob covered Acts for quite a while. So I'm not trying to, and in all of this, you can go into any good study Bible and it'll have outlines, and those are always good before you read whatever book you're reading, to just go ahead and look through so you can see what's going on and what are the things as far as how to organize that information. But Acts, thinking about Acts, why is it important? Historically, what does it cover? Anybody?
Beginning of the church.
It covers the beginning of church. It covers the birth and the growth of the early church. So, spiritually, I could be going a lot of different ways with that, so I'll just tell you what I wrote. It also was to confirm faith of Theophilus. Like I said, it was written to Theophilus, and just to help confirm his faith and show what was going on. This next one, I thought, legally, what was going on? Paul is in prison, and he's waiting to appear before a judge. One of the things that the book of Acts is it details Paul's life, and it shows that he's not a traitor to Rome. Could this have been used for Paul's legal defense? Maybe. Ecclesiastically, it shows the unity in the Christian movement in doctrine. Missions-wise, it shows the spread of Christianity. Apologetically, it shows how God authenticated Christianity by miracles through the apostles. We see that throughout the whole book on how it spread. The key verse that I'm suggesting, Acts 1:8. Who's got that?
But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth.
So, right in the beginning, talking about what's going to happen, and we know that those descriptions, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth, it's the spread. And Acts certainly talks about the spread of Christianity throughout the whole world. So next week, I'd like to take a look at the next chunk, which is going to be the epistles. What's an epistle?
A letter.
So we're we're done with the Gospels, life of Jesus, and what he did there. We've got the spread of the Christian church, and now we've got a bunch of letters. We've got a chunk of letters as far as the order. You know, we've got a bunch of letters that are written by Paul, and we've got some letters that are written by other folks. And then the very last book is the book of Revelation. And that tells us the future events and what's going to happen. So hopefully, I know I zipped through some stuff, and I know it's random and it's not exactly maybe what you're thinking of, but I hope that from taking a look at this information, you might get at least just a little bit more excited about the book and maybe think about reading it. So we're going to go into the epistles, and we're going to take the epistles kind of in chronological order, which they're not in the Bible. So we'll take a look at that. And again, hopefully you just get excited to read it. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you didn't leave us to figure out who you are and what Christianity is about. You left us instructions. And you left us instructions that are easy enough for us to understand. Help us to get excited about your word, to dig into it, and to just love you more and more because of it. Amen.